Brother Elliot will be bringing our first lesson tonight. Brother Jeff is the pastor of Mount Lebanon Missionary Baptist Church, and he's a good preacher and a good teacher, and I ask you tonight to turn your attention to the word of the Lord for a little while and pray for this brother as he comes to bring the lesson.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Before I get started, I just want to take a minute to thank the church and the committee for giving me another opportunity to come this way. I don't know how sincere that thanks is, though. I'd be very honest with you, and my wife, she probably amen me, but of all the things that a minister does, a pastor, a preacher, and one of them is to stand and give a lesson, especially one that the subject was given to you. But we'll do our best that we can and leave it in the hands of the Lord. But I do thank the church and the committee for putting my name up and giving me this subject. I told one of the brethren that happens to be a deacon, I'd rather have that one. I probably could have stirred something up, and he said, I don't know if it had been true, though. Because he knows I always tease him about being a deacon. So, but that didn't fall my lot. Tonight I feel, I do really feel the weight of the subject that we have before us. Not that it's any more important than the rest of the relationship subjects that have been spoken on, but maybe it's just because I'm the one that has to do it. But it is, I think, in my heart and my soul, a very, very, very important relationship. And a lot of things, if that relationship of pastor and church member is not what it should be on one end or the other, or maybe both ends, it has a tendency to mess a lot of things up. I really feel that in my heart. Nonetheless, the subject has fallen unto me to try in some way to bring out just how important it is to not only to the health of the church, but also the spiritual health of the church member, that relationship that we're talking about tonight. Also, last but not least, how important this relationship can play in the parts of our lost loved ones, our family and our friends. You know, if you're going to a church and you're not on the basis that you should be with your pastor or whatever the scenario might be, it might have a tendency to influence you to not invite people to the house of the Lord. So it's an important subject this evening. Not that all of them weren't important subjects. It's just that there was a lot in this one that 40 minutes is not going to do it justice, I'm sure. There's no doubt in my mind there would have been better men to present this subject, but I'll do the best, as I said, I can with it, and just pray for me tonight as we delve into this subject. I want to show both sides tonight, a pastor, their job, hopefully touch on that a little bit, and I also want to touch on the church members' job and how these two jobs, though they may be different, though they may be, there's a lot of things that are the same about them, and we're really doing the same work by the grace and help of the Lord. There's many different allegories that have been brought up in the Bible about pastors, and I want to start there, I guess, and such as the Bible talks about pastors being ambassadors for Christ, defenders of the faith, elders, fishers of men, laborers, men of God, ministers of God, overseers, pastors, preachers, teachers, watchmen, witnesses, workers together with God, and many others. And what I hope to show is that most of the duties of these different titles, they are interchangeable with the pastors and church members. Our duty to God are very similar. It all boils down to, in my opinion, and like a lot of other things, opinions are, a lot of people have an opinion, but I really believe this relationship boils down to reaching a lost and dying world. And I don't know about any of you, friends, but since the Lord touched my life so long ago and saved me and changed me, my focus has been, I want to see Jesus in everything. I want to be able to reach a lost and dying world because, you know, if we do our jobs, you know, if we can do our jobs as preachers, as pastors, as church members, I believe the grace of God will shine and people will be saved by the grace of God. And I put a lot of my ministry in stock in the commission that God gave to the church of the true and living God. And that being found in Matthew, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all, and go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. That command was not only for me as a pastor and the rest of the pastors that may be represented here, but it was also to you. That have been saved by the grace of God and have united with the church of the true and living God. I want to begin, I guess, talking about the different relationship with a definition, and like a lot of the men that have stood up here have. But it said out of the dictionary, relationship, the state of being related by kindred, affinity, or other affinity, other alliances. A connection or association, a kinship. And I want to read, most of you have an outline. If you don't, if you want to get one, they're up here already. You won't bother me. But I want to start in the 23rd Psalms because there's a picture in the 23rd Psalms of our Savior, of our shepherd, the one that is, in my opinion, in my estimation, and I believe what the Bible would teach, if we had to look up perfection, his name should be there, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is what we should all emulate. He's the one we should all try to pattern our life after and look to for guidance. And so as we talk about shepherds in the first part of my lesson, I need to start there. I just felt like I should. In the 23rd Psalm, in the first verse, it says, this is a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so the psalmist was showing us a picture of that great shepherd, the one that we can see just in those few verses, the duties that a shepherd that we as pastors need to bring forth into our ministries and into our churches, into our relationship with our church brothers and sisters, friends. It is said that this shepherd would be with them, that he would not leave them, nor would he forsake them. He would guide them. He would teach them, he would help them, he would comfort them. And so, friends, there's a lot on a pastor's plate, and that's just scratching the very surface of it. The shepherd is to tend the flock of God. They need to understand the needs of those whom God has made them responsible. Shepherds should be vigilant, reliable. They need to realize their obligation and commitment to the well-being of those entrusted to their care. Shepherds should be very dependable. They should engender a feeling of comfort and stability to those within their charge. Shepherds can be and should be empathetic, caring, understanding, practical, and realistic. And when they are not, I believe God is not pleased. You say, well, that's a big resume. Well, it goes with the territory. If we find, if you look there in on those of you that do have the outline, it says in the book of Jeremiah in the 23rd chapter in the first verse, and if you don't have, you want to turn over there, you can, but it says, woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you an evil, an, upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. And so, friends, the Lord was displeased with the leaders in that time in the Old Testament that were looking out for themselves. And so, as I look back into my little definition of a shepherd and his the things that he needs to be, empathetic and caring and understanding and practical and realistic. And as I said, those are just adjectives and words that are just scratching the surface of what that man's job is and how he's going to bring that into a relationship with the church of the true and living God. And if there's any relationships you'll ever have in this life, friends, it's a very, very, very important relationship. You need a relationship with your pastor. You need a relationship, pastors, with the flock that you oversee that God has placed you under. You need to understand them. You need to find, and you know, you need to be with them. But I'm getting ahead of myself because it's such a heavy burden because I am a pastor and I want to be able to feed my people. I want to be able to interact with them. I want to be able to help them, to see them grow, to see people saved by God's grace. What of the flock? The flock of God is to honor their shepherd, the Bible says. They need to understand the needs of the one God has brought into their lives to make sure he has the things he needs so he is able to fulfill his duties to the church members. They are to love him, pray for him every day, not just on Sunday. Church members need to realize their obligation and commitment to his well-being. The church members should be empathetic. Sound familiar? Caring. Does that sound familiar? Understanding, practical, and realistic. And when they are not, God is not pleased. We must look at the two parts in these relationships. First, pastors. Pastors can be equated to shepherds. Second, members of the Lord's church. Members can be equated to sheep. Each has a very important role in his relationship. If pastors do not do their part, the relationship will suffer or even be bad. And if the church member doesn't do their part, the same can be said of them. They can even, you know, the situation can boil into something that can get very much out of hand. And then what do we have? Friend, we have a church that cannot, in my estimation, cannot, friends, fulfill the commission that God gave them to do. And what is that? To go forth into all the world, teaching the gospel of the Son of God, raising up Jesus Christ that all men might be drawn unto him. Friends, when that relationship is out of kilter, when we don't love our pastors, when we don't know our sheep, when we don't know the things that we're doing, when we're not interacting with them and they with us, friends, then we can't fulfill and do what God wants us to do as a people. And as his bride, reach a lost and dying world. The two jobs differ in many ways, but are the same in a number of ways as well. They must be done by both pastor and members for the relationship to be as God would want it. As I look at it, it is not what the pastor wants, and it's not what the church wants. It's what God Almighty wants. It's what the God of glory wants, friends. It's not about us. Salvation has never been about us. Our church is not about us. It's about reaching a lost and dying world. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross of Calvary. That's why he set up the church, his bride, to go forth into the world preaching and teaching, the only organization, friend, I find in the Bible that has that authority to do what we do, preach the gospel and uplift Jesus Christ that men might be saved. And when that relationship is not there, we can't do it. It suffers. And we go through times of revival, churches do, and we go times where it seems like a low, the tide's out, it's low. And Jeremiah in the 50th chapter in the 6th verse, it says, "My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from the mountains to the hills. They have forgotten their resting place." So let us look at the shepherds first, friends. Because when he messes up, when he is not doing his job, when he is not carrying out the things that God would have him to do, have him to be as that under shepherd, as that one that should be looking out, as Christ is looking out for all of us. He's, as I said, that's why I started with the Psalms. Friends, we hear that psalm many times at funerals, but I believe it's a psalm for the living. It's about how Christ shepherds us and how he looks to us to help us and feeds us along the way. And we're to emulate that. We're to do our best, friends, to be Christ-like, to be the Christian that God would have us to be. Shepherds are to know their sheep, the Bible says. In the book of John's Gospel, in the 10th chapter, in the 14th verse, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And that's the implication. The pastor should know his people. We shouldn't be, unreachable or untouchable or you know, whatever the case might be. I would hate to think that there was anybody at Mount Lebanon Church, you know, that thought they couldn't talk to me or bring a problem to me or try to ask some biblical or spiritual help from me for some odd reason. I want to, and if we know them, if you know the people you're working with, if you know what's going on in their lives, if we know as pastors, friends, our responsibility and our relationship with the people of God, the better we'll be able to do our job as a preacher, as a shepherd. Shepherds are to go before and lead the flock. It seems like that's an ability that's, it's going by the wayside. Either we don't want to stand up and lead, and whether we're afraid maybe we'll lose our job or whatever the case may be. But friends, God has called preachers. God leads them. God is leading them and giving them messages. Friends, so they should be the spiritual leader of the house of the true and living God. They should be the leader of that church. Now, does that mean they run everything? That's not what I'm saying, friends. But when you're a preacher and when the relationship is good, when it should be what it should be, friends, when it's what it could be and is the very best at times, when you know them, when you're being with them, when you know about their lives, when we know what's going on with their children, they can come to you and you can lead them and help them spiritually. So we're to go before and lead the flock. The psalmist said in the 77th chapter, in the 20th verse, thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Another place in Psalms, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And so God has always, from the beginning, from when he called out Abram to go and leave his home and go to a place where he didn't really tell him where he was going, from that time, God has had people leading the people of God. He has put people in place to help them and to guide them to the best of their abilities. Shepherds are to seek out good pasture for the flock. And I thought these verses were very interesting. We find in the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter and 39th verse, and they went to the entrance of Gedor, even unto the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks. And they found fat pasture, good, and the land was wide and quiet and peaceable, and they of Ham had dwelt there of old. And these written by name came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and smote their tents and habitations that were found there, and destroyed them utterly unto this day, and dwelt in their rooms, because there was pasture there for their flocks. And so what's the spiritual implication of these verses? These shepherds found pasture that was good. That was good ground. And they wanted pasture and good feeding ground for their sheep, their flock, to the very point that it was so important to them, they ran the inhabitants out of that place. Friends, so it's important that we find what our families and what our flock needs and feed them. Shepherds are to watch over their sheep by night. I thought this was interesting in the book of Luke. You know, some said, well, being a pastor is an easy job. You know, you work for about 40, 45 minutes on Sunday. Maybe some on Sunday night. But if your pastor is doing the job that God's called him, I promise you, he's putting in a lot of hours. He's up and sometimes in the small of the night, and he's going over what he knows in his mind and his heart because there's so much there that he can't sleep. Because he loves them so much, and because he wants to feed them, because he wants to give unto them, what they need to grow and to prosper as a church and as individuals. We find here in Luke, the second chapter, in the 8th verse, and there were many in that same country, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And I took this in a spiritual sense, friends, that shepherd was there day and night. That there was not a time where he didn't think about his flock. Something will always, at least for me, and maybe some of the brethren are the same way, I don't know, something will always transpire during the day that someone doesn't come to my mind in my church. Something that they're going through, or something that we're going through together as a church or individuals. And friends, I don't know, but I'm a late night person anyway. But there's been times I've woke up early, and that's early. Friends, it was hard to get me out of bed early in the morning. I'm up usually later at night, and so the watch of the night's not so bad for me. But that early stuff, when Lord won't let me sleep because there's someone on my mind and my heart, and I want to do the best that I can to give them the advice or the guidance to the best of my ability. I need to move along. Shepherds are to show tenderness to the ewe lambs and the young. In Genesis, we find this, that it was said, and he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord into Seirah. The shepherd had compassion on those that could not keep up, who were behind, and you might say, who didn't have the strength, who weren't on the same spiritual plane. If you want to put it that way, friends, we all have them as pastors, but we've got to make a way for them to come along, to nurture them just as well as anybody else in the house of the Lord. Shepherds are to show tenderness and compassion to the flock and to the young and to those who are coming along. Goes on to say, shepherds are to defend their sheep when attacked by wild beasts. Example was David there in 1 Samuel 17th chapter. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. This was a real life experience of a shepherd. And a shepherd had a flock. It was his father's flock. It was important to him. And one had come, an enemy had come, a bear and a lion, to snatch away just one of the flock. See, pastors, our relationship with everybody of that flock is important. Everyone in that flock is important and worth fighting for. And that's the spiritual side to that, as I see it, that there's not one more important than the other, but all those that make up that body, from the young to the old, friends, we need to fight for. And it's important. I'll tell you what, pastors, I know that your flock know how you feel about them. They can't help but know. If you've been there a few years, if you've been there just a little while, because I'm telling you what, it takes a while for a preacher to become a pastor. I can guarantee you that. I'm not even sure I've been there long enough in Mount Lebanon to become their pastor. But friends, I'm working at it. I'm trying to do my best because I want all of those to come along in the same fashion. And I'm willing to stand up and fight for them, from the youngest to the oldest. Shepherds need to search out their sheep when lost and straying. sheep in a flock, there's a tendency sometimes to wander off. Ezekiel said in the 34th chapter and 12th verse, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in cloudy and a dark day. In the New Testament, we find in the book of Luke, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulder, rejoicing. Relationships can be complicated, can't they? I'm not saying I have an easy solution for a pastor and member's relationship, but friends, it's important in this world to get it to the best of our ability as right as we can, to look to Jesus for the examples that we have as shepherds, as he is the best shepherd. He's the one that's perfect. He's the one that's done everything right. He's the one that came and died on the cross of Calvary and gave up his life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But he was always there. He was there for the little ones. Suffer not the little ones to come unto me, he told them. He was there for the sick and the blind and the maimed. He would heal them. He would take time out in his day. Everything was important while he walked the face of the earth. We need to continually seek out those which are lost and go astray. Shepherds need to attend their sheep when sick. You find in Ezekiel, I will feed them in a good pasture and upon high mountains. High mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith God. I will seek that which was lost and bring them again, that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, and I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And so we find here the shepherd would going after those friends that were scattered, those the flock that were scattered, and wanted to feed them, wanted to give them the goodness and to bind up their wounds and to make them healthy as possible as he could. Time's slipping away. How much time do I have? Okay. Shepherds are to care for the flock. Book of Acts, we find, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. It's a pretty important part of the relationship between a pastor and a church member. We've got to feed them, brothers. Not just the easy stuff. Not just the milk. Not just the stuff that is just wonderful to stand up and preach before a crowd of people. But friends, all of it. The whole counsel of God. They must be fed the whole of the scriptures, friend, to the best of our abilities. That they get a balanced diet. That they just don't get one little part. And friends, that comes back to our own education, our own study life, our own prayer life. If we're to be a pastor and a shepherd, then we must look on this relationship and how important it is. It's very important to God. We see that throughout the scriptures and the spiritual connotations that God puts upon the shepherd and upon the flock, and how God loves them both, how God placed that man in their midst to lead and to guide them and to feed them. So it's important, this relationship to the Lord God Almighty, so it should be important to us. It's not just a job, as the world thinks that it might be. Well, it's a good vocation. I just decided to do that. If that was the reasoning, you're a pastor today, friends, I believe you've missed the boat. You certainly can't have the relationship with your church members that you should if the only reason you decided to become a preacher in the first place was because it seemed like what you wanted to do. I don't have time to go into it, but the Lord called me. It's not something I chose to do. I love what I do. I have come to love the Word of God, the people that He's placed within my life, and I want to do the best for them that I possibly can. That, friends, comes from God. That's something that can't just be manufactured. Shepherds are to care for their flock, the Bible says. Take heed, as I read to you, you know, and to feed that flock that's overseer to you. We find in the book of Ezekiel many scriptures there. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, and should not the shepherd feed the flocks? And it goes on to explain that trouble and sorrow was going to come to those men who just thought of themselves, and that the Lord wanted his flock fed. Because, friends, I want you to know something. Whatever kind of relationship that we have between our church members, I want you to realize one thing. They're not yours. They're God's. They're God's. And He loves them. And He is the perfect shepherd. Pastors are to watch over the flock and protect the flock, feed the flock, comfort and care for the flock, and love the flock. They are to interact, communicate, and take part in the lives of their flock. If you really want to have a relationship, that's what it should be, a spiritual relationship with the flock that God has put you as overseer, then, friends, you've got to care. You've got to protect them. You've got to feed them. You've got to comfort them. You've got to burn the midnight hours, you might say, thinking and praying and finding out what they need to help them to grow. Protect, feed, comfort, care, love. We're to interact, communicate, and take part in their lives. I think that's an important part, preachers. That's how we come less aloof, maybe, to some. Be a part of their lives. Know what's going on in their lives. Support them. Now let's look at the sheep, the flock, the church. What's her relationship to the pastor? How do we interact one with another? How is she to be? Because, friends, I gave you a lot about the shepherd. I gave you a lot about his job and his obligation and his duty to you. But I'm not going to let you off the hook, because you've got a job to do. If this relationship is supposed to be what it should be and what God wants it to be, then you've got a part to play too. And there's instructions in the book. The instruction manual, friend, is well versed in your job as well as it is my job. Shepherds are to know their shepherd. Our sheep are to know their shepherd. You're to know me. You can't be aloof to me. You can't be standoffish to me. You need to interact with me. If I'm just speaking to you, whoever your pastor is, you need to interact with him. You need to know him. Intimately, you need to know his life, his family, the things going on in his life, the trials and the troubles and the cares that he might have as an individual, his wife, whatever, his children. We need to know, as sheep, we need to know the shepherd. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and the 12th and the 13th verses. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And so the Bible is encouraging you to know him that has been placed within your confines, has been placed in this place of a very, very, to me, it's one of the most important jobs, friends, in the world. It comes with a great heavy burden, and we can't do it without the children of God taking part in it. It's not a one-man show. I promise you, the Church of the True and Living God, not a one-man band at all. It takes this working relationship. You need to know him that you have placed within you. And I know, like this church, for example, when you and your pastor stepped down after some 25 years, you knew him. I'm sure you knew him intimately. You know him still today. And then Brother Miller came, and you were led by God. And if you were not, then you have the wrong person in the first place. You need to be led by God. And then that relationship has slowly grown and will get better and better if they're both doing our parts as the children of God, to know them. John said, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger." So the spiritual side to that is they know him well. They know and understand him. They listen to him. The Bible teaches that church members are to honor their shepherds. It seems a little self-serving tonight for me to stand up here, but you know, it's the Bible, and I'll not apologize for it. But you're to honor your shepherd. You're to pray for him. You're to uplift him. You're to know him. You need to understand him. Are you always going to agree with him? No. I don't think that's the case. But probably most of the time, you'll all be on the same page. In 1 Timothy, 5th chapter, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, and others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou oversee, that observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality." And so it said honor, double honor in some cases, if they were especially they who labored in word and in doctrine and that followed the scriptures and labored hard and had you in mind. And friends, you're going to know if your pastor is doing that. You're going to hear it. You're going to see it. You're going to feel it. You're going to understand it if he cares about you and he's worthy of his reward. Friends, I could go off on a whole different subject there, but we'll not. But then it goes on to say, and if he fails, but you better make sure. It says, because that position is so important to God. It said, take two. You need two or three witnesses to bring that charge before. But if it's true, then you need to bring it loud and clear that the world can see that you're taking judgment on this person that's not in the will of God. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, them that sin, rebuke before all. Bring them right down before all, that others may fear. Church members are to fellowship with the shepherd. I think one of the most important things in a church relationship between for its growth is the fellowship of God, God's people, one with another. And not only that, but fellowship with the pastor. It's the only time you're communicating with your preachers on Sunday morning, and that's with just making eye contact. Brethren, you're not following up as God would have you to have in that relationship. Or maybe your pastor's not following up. I don't know. But there needs to be some fellowship with God's people outside of the walls and maybe a call, whatever. Fellowship means companionship of persons on equal terms. The association together of persons with mutual aims and interest. This is a strict and literal meaning of the word and comes nearest to the realization in religious sense, in the fellowship which exists in the church. So there needs to be a fellowship between you and your pastor. You need to know him. You need to know what drives him. Take him out to dinner once in a while. Have him over to your home. And he needs to have you over into his home. I don't know, but there needs to be some interaction besides Sunday morning when you're looking at him in the face. Maybe an amen once in a while would you can start there. Interact with him in that fashion, saying that you agree with some of the things that he might be bringing forth that morning. The book of Acts in the second chapter, in the 41st and 42nd verse. "And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And so they continued, these souls that were saved that day, they continued on with the things that God wanted to do, wanted them to do. The fellowship. Time's about gone, but we find in the book of Acts, Peter was put out, he was put into prison. The church cared enough about him to pray without ceasing, which is intense, steady, ardent prayer. The Greek word for that. They prayed because they cared. They prayed because they knew him. They prayed because they knew who he was and what he was. And God honored that prayer and released Peter from the prison. When he finally walked out to the inner gates and woke up and realized it was a miracle that God had done, he went to the church where they had been gathered to pray. In closing, let me try to sum up with regard to the relationship of the people of the church towards the ministry. We are told to honor, obey, and to support them, to give heed to their exhortations, to follow the spiritual advice they give us, and to consider their dignity and office. On their part, they are told to be worthy ministers, to live uprightly, and to remember that they are the chosen servants of the Master for the upbuilding and continuance of His earthly kingdom. If we strive to keep this kind of relationship between our pastors and our members, we will see more and more lost people saved by His wonderful, marvelous grace. God bless you.